The Midweek Horror Podcast is supported by Horrified, the website that celebrates and champions British horror, covering films, television, books, fiction, and more. You can visit Horrified at horrifiedmagazine.co.uk and find them on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at horrifiedmag.
This is the Midweek Horror Podcast with Hannah Fox and Alice Reed.
Welcome to the Midweek Horror Podcast. I'm Hannah Fox.
And I am the very proud owner of a 4.5 kilo Toblerone.
Oh, it is incredible. I mean, I don't know if you can just call it a Toblerone.
No, it's...
Tobler 10.
Yeah, that's my news. I bought a 4.5 kilo Toblerone.
I've never seen anything like it. And if you can imagine, it's not just tall, is it? It's long.
No. It's tall, it's long, every dimension.
It's like a metre long. It's massive.
Yeah. But basically every dimension. So like the triangles, the base of the triangle is about as big as... Yeah, I'm trying to think how we can convey it in an audio format. I would say it's about as big as the bottom of a tin of corned beef, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So if you imagine...
I actually think that's accurate to within about half a centimetre.
If you imagine, so then I guess about... But it's what... Yeah. So if you imagine like about, what, 10 of those all lined up?
Yeah, 10 tins of corned beef.
Yeah.
Solid chocolate.
Solid chocolate.
It's actually 12 triangles.
Yeah. As I say, I think it's a bit bigger than that. So 12 tins of corned beef all standing in a line. And it's heavy as well.
It's very heavy. Well, it's 4.5 kilos.
Yeah, like when you said lift it, I was like, oh, hefty.
I might be covering for the fact that I've not seen any horror films. That's all my news.
Well, did you watch that film I recommended to you? You haven't, have you?
No, I am sorry. I have been quite busy.
I am the scholar. maybe not.
Okay, brilliant. So, well... Just to finish the unfinished business.
Yeah.
And I'm Ellis Reed. I went off script, didn't
you
did, I?
But it's fine. You know, I mean, everyone knows who you are. I think we're okay.
Welcome to the Midweek Horror Podcast.
Yes, hello everyone.
We were going to do an Easter special, and this is a bit late, but we're still doing it.
Yeah.
It was just hard syncing up our calendars over Easter itself. But before we get on to what film we're watching tonight in celebration, belated celebration of Easter, have you seen any horror films lately?
I have.
Woo!
Well, I've seen one anyway, which I still think means I'm winning.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I watched quite a random horror film the other night, and I actually said to Ellis, oh, you should watch this at some point, because it was not what I expected. So... The film it's available on Netflix, actually, if anyone wants to watch it. And it's called Eli. So without spoiling it, the basic plot is all about there's a young boy and he is basically allergic to everything. He is in like a kind of hazmat suit. And when he's not in a hazmat suit, he's in like a special tent. Can't even touch his mother and father. It's just always has to be in this tent because he's allergic to air. He's allergic to everything. So at the beginning of the film, we kind of get an idea about how bad this is. And then his mother and father kind of announce that they're taking him to this doctor who will be able to help him with this allergy and hopefully he can lead a normal life. And, you know, we kind of see they go on this road trip and basically going to this doctor has almost kind of bankrupted them and they're really desperate to kind of get this sorted. And he, at one point, I think, falls over and there's like a rip in the suit and they'll quickly, you know, get in there to put the tape on it. Because when he gets exposed to air, he kind of goes all red and blotchy, like instantly. So it's quite clear that he's very allergic.
Yeah, yeah.
So he gets to this doctor's surgery and it's not a surgery. It's like a very old, haunted looking house.
Brilliant.
Yeah, like really eerie sort of house. And he gets in there. This house is really specialised. So, you kind of get cleansed when you get in there, and it's a protective environment. So he can just wander around the house normally, which he's never done, and touches mum and dad. So it's, you know, it's quite nice. But as time goes on, weird things start to happen. So he starts to like see things, and he's also having these treatments and operations and things. So you're not sure whether what he's seeing, he starts to see like children, and you're not sure whether he might be seeing ghosts or whether it's to do with the operations and whether he's having, what's the word, hallucinations, that of thing. And things get weirder and weirder. He meets this little girl who's who lives outside and is a person. She's not a spirit or anything. And she kind of insinuates that other children have been there and have never been seen again, like to get treatment for allergies and things. And it gets weirder and weirder, and then has a very weird twist that I just wasn't expecting.
Huh.
And I feel like everyone should go and watch it because it is weird. It's not that it's the best film ever, don't get me wrong. It's fine.
Do you know, you've totally sold me on it because that description sounds
so strange.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
What would you give it stars-wise?
I would have said, generally, maybe a 3. But for the twist, because I was so like, what? I would probably have given it 3.5, 4. Just because it was weird. Maybe 3.5. But purely for the twist. The film itself isn't that amazing. I was just like, oh, okay. Interesting thought. Yeah.
I know you've only given it 3.5 stars. Mm. And half of those stars. Well, half a star of those stars, begrudgingly. But I think that sounds amazing.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry I didn't get around to seeing it before we did this
podcast. No, that's fine. To be fair, like, it's, I kind of just randomly said to you, just because I thought, well, if you do get a chance, it might be worth it. But at some point, yeah, let me know what you think of the twist. Yeah.
We could even do a podcast on it if we're ever short of time one night.
Yeah.
If I watch it.
Yeah. We're going to have a chat about it.
Yeah, just have a chat about it and record it. Because we do have to watch a film tonight.
We do. This is it. Yeah.
The major time component of our podcast evenings is watching a film. So in terms of the film we're going to watch, we have two options, and I thought I'd let you pick which one to watch.
Oh, okay.
Because we wanted an Easter-themed film for our belated Easter special, and we'd sort of provisionally agreed on Critters 2.
Mm.
Because Critters, I've always found, like, I've never seen a Critters film.
Normally.
But I've always found the posters very appealing. It looks a bit like Gremlins.
Yes. Very 80s looking.
Yep. And apparently Critters 2 is set at Easter. And I think the critters are hidden inside Easter eggs or something.
Do you know what? Let's not even discuss. Let's go for Critters 2 because I really want to see it now.
Okay.
And we can always save the next one.
The next Easter. The other one being the Beaster Bunny.
But I know absolutely nothing about that, so I feel like it's okay.
Apart from it's a pun. So I'm sort of sad that I told you about it.
Because
that would have made a great film for our punning quizzes.
Would have done, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But never mind. I'll probably forget about it by next Easter, so you can do it again.
So talking of punning quizzes, we've got a real treat lined up for later. So one of our good friends and a real supporter of the podcast, Adam. Not Adam who recommended Night of the Demon, but Adam who you know as well.
Yeah.
Has actually taken it upon himself to write us for Easter a Christianity-themed punning quiz.
Wow.
So,
what a trooper.
Yeah. So I will be...
What a true fan.
Yep. So I'm going to be doing my usual role as quiz master.
Yeah.
But Adam will be our QI elf, coming up with all the questions.
Well, I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that as well. Okay, let's agree an agenda.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is we're going to watch the trailer for Critters 2.
Mm-hmm.
Give our initial thoughts as always.
Yep.
Then we're going to watch Critters 2. Then we'll do the funny quiz.
Perfect.
Then we'll go to Rotten Tomatoes and see what the Tomatometer has to say about Critters 2.
Sounds like a fun-filled evening.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm chairing this podcast.
Am I going to write the minutes?
We normally just do it, don't we?
Can you imagine my minutes? It'd be terrible.
I'm really looking forward to this, though.
Yeah, because
it's been a bit longer this time because I'm not meeting up over Easter. Been really looking forward to this. And we've got a pizza coming as well.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
Pizza Hut. I know, I'm really excited. We've got some Easter-themed chocolates that I got cheap because it's not Easter anymore.
No pun intended. Cheap.
Cheap. Very good.
Hey!
Very good. Yeah, I think we're going to have a fantastic evening.
Yeah.
And I think the listeners at home are going to have a fantastic evening too. Oh, by the way, to try and improve our visibility as a podcast... So I was looking in Google Podcasts. And I did a search for horror movie review. And we didn't come up. So
shocker.
I've slightly tweaked the name of our podcast. We're now called... what's the name of our podcast?
Midweek Horror Podcast.
Yeah, we're now called the Midweek Horror Podcast, : Horror Movie Reviews.
It doesn't roll off the tongue so well, but you know, I can deal with it.
That's just our listing. We're still called Midweek Horror Podcast.
Nice.
You know, I haven't changed the graphic or anything. But now if you search for horror movie reviews, we come up quite quickly.
Oh.
Yeah, so Google's algorithm, not as smart as it thinks it is. But I cracked it. The two we're sandwiched between in the results. So we're just over one called something, something, something. Horror movie reviews, and then we're just below one called the Horror Virgin, and I've made a mental note to listen to that because I think it must be a good podcast because it's coming up in the results, and they've not even had to put horror movie reviews in their name, so
they must be doing pretty well.
Presumably, it's been included on merit.
Well, good for them.
I'll make a call on whether to include this in the final edit. Right, shall we? Go watch a trailer for Critters 2.
Let's do it.
Brilliant. So we've watched the trailer for Critters 2, and we've had a superb pair of Pizza Hut pizzas.
Very nice. Yeah. I wolfed it down, to be honest.
And I very much enjoyed both the trailer and my pizza.
Good evening so far.
Yeah. What do you think of the trailer?
I thought it looked great. It was very Easter-themed.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Very Easter-themed. I think we struck gold with that.
Yeah, I was worried it'd be like, oh, is it just mentioned once, then it's Easter? But no, the trailer begins with literally a banner that says, you know, Easter egg hunt.
Yeah.
Happy Easter, everyone.
Happy Easter, everyone.
An Easter bunny.
Yeah.
Goes smashing through a window.
they were like in church, weren't they? And the Easter bunny comes smashing through the window.
Yeah, yeah. The critters themselves look like a lot of fun. Very gremlins.
Yes, very much so. More teeth.
Yeah. What I didn't expect was the Masters of the Universe-style sexy space aliens that turn up on Earth as well.
Yeah.
Are they maybe hunting the critters?
It looked like they were. It looked like they'd been almost sent to, go and hunt the critters on Earth. I don't know. But that's certainly what it looked like.
I wonder if, because we got a shot, didn't we, of a spaceship travelling through space. I wonder if the critters are like a dangerous cargo that they might be transporting to space prison.
Yeah.
And they accidentally crash on Earth or something.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, that's a good shout, actually. Might be a stretch to say it's a horror. I think it's a bit sci-fi, but I think... Yeah, we can go with it.
Yeah, why not? What's the worst that can happen?
Exactly.
I think, it's definitely Easter.
Definitely Easter. I mean, we've nailed Easter. Absolutely.
The critters themselves look like a lot of fun. Like when they all join up and form a giant rolling boulder of critters.
And I liked it when he bit into the tyre and then like inflated. That was very good as well. Very 80s looking.
I was just going to say, that's great. So 80s.
Yeah.
So I'm going to make a prediction. I think we will enjoy this as much as Leprechaun, but not feel as morally conflicted by some of the stereotypes.
Probably right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a Stone Cold 4.
I think it'll be 3.5.
3.5.
Yeah.
Let's see. Well, let's see how we feel when we've seen the film. Well, we've had our tea. We've watched the trailer. Done our preamble. Only one thing left to do. And that is watch Critters 2.
Yes.
By the way, so neither of us has seen Critters 1.
No.
Can you imagine if we put this on, it's like the Two Towers. It just starts like halfway through.
Oh, okay.
Somebody's died and we don't know who. All the critters are sad.
Hopefully not. I mean, I'm thinking it'll be okay as a standalone.
I think so. I'm hoping. I mean, well,
we'll see, I guess.
Yeah, with Leprechaun, we went straight in on Leprechaun in the Hood.
And that was fine.
Yeah, I think this will be the same.
We didn't need to watch the other Leprechauns. It was all good.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
All good.
In the Hood.
In the Hood, yeah. All right, so we're going to have a little jingle. We're going to watch Critters 2 on my big projector. And then we'll be straight back to tell you what we thought of it. Thumbs up from Han.
Yeah, grand.
And we're back.
Well, what did you think?
Really enjoyed it.
Me too. It was really good. It was really good fun.
It was really good fun. I think it was exactly what I hoped it would be when we picked Critters 2.
Me too. Yeah.
A silly film that doesn't waste any time to get going. Lots of crazy, evil, but sort of funny puppets eating things.
And people. A lot of people.
Yeah, yeah.
And didn't take itself seriously at all.
You were going to say too seriously, too seriously then. And then you thought, that's an understatement.
No, just not seriously in any way.
No.
Like you said, it kind of just exactly what I was expecting.
Pepsi Max.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly what I was expecting, but not in a bad way. Just, yeah, good fun. Lots of Easter references, you know.
Lots of Easter references. I was very proud of myself. Normally, I'm terrible at recognising actors.
Mm.
But I was a full-on IMDb Rain Man today.
You were. You really were.
Because there was a character in that. What's his name? The editor of the newspaper.
I can't remember.
And we were both like, oh, we've seen him before.
Mm.
And then I suddenly realised it was the guy who plays Phoebe's doctor in that episode of Friends when she's having her baby. And the doctor is obsessed with the Fonzie. And we checked it on IMDb and it was him.
Yeah. It was a really good spot. It was a really good spot. Because I recognised him, but I wouldn't have thought past that. But yeah. Fair play.
Very, very rare that I can recognise actors like that. Yeah. So, well, I almost don't know what to say about it more than that. So I think what we should probably do is just talk about the plot and then we'll remember things to say. I hope we will. Otherwise, it's going to be a bloody short podcast.
Yeah, no, we will. It starts off by... have I got this right? So it starts off with the boy coming back into town. So there's a young boy...
Bradley Brown
back in town, which they kept saying, which was really annoying. Bradley Brown is coming back on the bus back into the small town where all this is set. And they start to drop hints that something happened a couple of years ago when he lived there.
Yeah, yeah.
And he had reported that there were these critters.
Yeah.
And no one really seems to have believed him.
Yeah. So it's obviously that he's a main character from the first film. He's had some kind of battle with the critters before. But whatever this confrontation was not on a big enough scale that anyone else really noticed.
Yeah, apart from maybe the sheriff.
Oh yeah, the sheriff. Yeah. So the sheriff from the town is living in a caravan and he's very bitter that he got voted out in a landslide. Presumably because he was talking about alien critters.
Presumably, yeah.
We pieced together a lot of the first film. Was there anyone else around who'd seen the critters last time? I don't think there was there?
No, I don't think so. I think that was it.
One key person.
Mm.
So, okay, what's the best way to explain this? So something else that happens right at the start is these shapeshifting alien bounty hunters. They get a message from a sort of Doctor Who reject alien telling them they haven't finished the job and their scan has revealed, I think the proper name for the critters is Krites on Earth. And they're like, no, we finished that job. And they said, no, the scan never lies. You have to go back and finish it if you want paying. So obviously those bounty hunters were on Earth in the first film. And with them, they've got a guy called Charlie, who we sort of pieced together in the first film was the town drunk. And somehow during that film, the first battle with the critters, he ended up, because he was a nobody on Earth, joining the aliens and becoming a bounty hunter with them. And when he realizes they're going back to Earth to finish the job, he's a bit nervous. And he's like, you wouldn't leave me back on Earth, would you? Because he's really happy as a bounty hunter. So that's at least three people who know about the critters.
Yeah.
But everyone else in... this is almost... I guess it's almost like the local Bigfoot legend where nobody really believes it, but they've all heard the story of these alien critters.
And all just thought it was a load of rubbish.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So I think pretty much... So Charlie... Charlie, sorry, not Charlie.
Bradley,
sorry, yeah. Bradley's coming back to visit his grandma who still lives in the town, to spend the Easter break with her. And as soon as he gets there, everyone's kind of saying, oh, Bradley Brown, you know, kind of made up these stories. Yeah. And he gets quite a hard time, doesn't he?
And they're doing it in a really small town American way.
Yeah.
Like, well, looky here. If it isn't Bradley Brown, the Critters Boy, or whatever they're saying. I don't know. That's not verbatim from the script.
But pretty accurate, yeah.
Yeah.
So they're giving him a massive hard time about this. But then what is also going on at the same time is a couple of people in the town, one of whom seems to be a bit of a Del Boy wheeler dealer,
yeah,
come across some eggs, which they think they can sell, some strange-looking eggs in an old barn.
Yeah, that nobody's been 2 years. It's yeah, like a dilapidated.
Presumably it's the Bradley Brown family barn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they find all of these eggs and they end up selling them to Bradley's grandma, who is putting on an Easter egg hunt in the village for the children. So these eggs end up getting painted by the children and the churchgoers and sort of scattered for an Easter egg hunt.
Yeah.
And
ending up in people's houses because they find the eggs, etc.
Yeah. So they're making their way around the town. Then it kind of all starts kicking off. There's a couple of them are kind of get loose first, don't they? And the guy who's been selling the eggs, he gets eaten.
Yeah, yeah.
Properly eaten. And his dog.
Yeah.
But I would think the big thing that happens when everyone sort of notices that this might be a problem is they're in church on Easter Sunday about to do the Easter egg hunt. And the new sheriff is dressed up as the Easter Bunny to, you know, do the bit with the children.
So I'm not a Christian.
Yeah.
You're from a Catholic background.
Yeah.
Is that part of the Easter service?
That has never been part of the Easter service. Somebody dressed up as the Easter Bunny. No,
I wouldn't have thought so either.
So I think they were just thinking maybe it was something nice for after church for the children.
Yeah.
I suppose. But anyway, he's trying to get, this is a weird bit as well, when he's trying to put his costume on and he can't do it up properly.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
he comments that his like wang might be falling out.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, oh God, the Easter Bunny with his, what does he call it? It doesn't say wang.
It's something like that, wasn't it? Like,
it's some kind of American slang, yeah, for Israeli. Let's say wang. Oh, the Easter Bunny with his wang hanging out. That'll be great. That'll teach the kids a lesson. It was just a bit dark, wasn't it?
But then rather than, like, I don't know, doing something sensible, he starts jumping up and down, which we were like, well, that would not help matters because, you know, there's going to be a flopping incident. It's going to be doing that.
I think he was jumping because he was getting into character because he had to hop as the bunny.
Mm, okay. We'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
But put your knob away first.
Put your knob away first. Yeah. And this results in a couple of the critters getting into his bunny rabbit suit.
Yeah.
And next thing we know, he's crashing through the church window.
Yeah.
And everyone freaks out.
Because he's been eaten from inside.
Yeah. Horrible.
So you question whether this would be a horror film.
Mm.
I think it can definitely be classed as horror comedy.
Yeah. I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Because people were getting eaten.
Yeah, people were getting eaten.
Mind you, they got eaten in Jurassic Park, didn't they?
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think
we watched it.
We
yeah,
watched it. It's fine. So after that, it kind of then becomes a bit of the villagers, pretty much led by the bounty hunters and Bradley and Charlie, kind of trying to, yeah, them against the critters, really.
Yeah.
Trying all kinds of things and kind of, I think that maybe the kind of the big sort of finale bit is when they try and lure them into a big burger store.
Yeah, yeah.
And try and blow them up.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like the big sort of end bit. But before then, there's various kinds of.
And during that, when they try to lure them into the burger barn.
Yeah.
Charlie takes fright, despite the fact that he's now meant to be a space bounty hunter.
Yeah.
And apparently runs away. That's key context for basically comes back.
Yeah.
He comes back and saves the day. And it turns out, so after they try and blow him up, all the critters are joined up to make this massive critter boulder that's rolling around. Mm. And then Charlie comes back and it turns out he'd actually run off to get the spaceship, flies the spaceship into the critters, kills them all. We think Charlie's dead, but then he turns up at the end saying, can somebody help me get this parachute off? Because actually he'd parachuted out at the last minute.
Yeah.
I think we did it.
I think we pretty much did it. Oh, I think also worth saying, one of the bounty hunters does come a cropper as well during the show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so Lee, one of the other bounty hunters, who's at that point has transformed into a Playboy star.
Yeah.
after he sees a lady in one of the Playboy magazines, he ends up getting eaten, basically, by the critters. And so his companion, Ugg, who is the other bounty hunter, can't really do anything for a while because he's so sad.
No. Yeah, yeah. He sort of freaks out and reverts. So these shape-shifting bounty hunters, in their neutral state, they've just got these like blank white faces. But if they see something, they can copy it.
Mm.
And Ugg spends almost all of the film. We can infer from things that are said that in the first film, he took on the form of a rock star.
Yeah.
And liked it so much, he's just stayed that way.
Yeah.
Whereas Lee is more often in the neutral state and he turns into a porn star he sees in a Playboy. He turns into a...
like a nerd.
A nerdy guy he sees and then back into the porn star. And basically, when Lee dies, Ugg is so upset, he sort of reverts to his blank face state and goes semi-catatonic. Like, I think he can stand, but he's not really responding to anyone.
Although, before Charlie saves the day, he also sort of saves the day because he morphs into one of the critters and fools everyone that he is the leader of the critters.
Yeah. So when they're struggling to get the critters to go in the barn with all the cheeseburgers so they can blow them up, Ugg takes on the form of like a sort of leader critter and goes, oh no, let's go get the cheeseburgers, they're better, and leads them into the barn. Yeah. Crazy film.
Lots going on. I mean, you've also got the old sheriff who basically says he's leaving town because he's had enough of the people. He saves the day as well.
A few people get their chance to save the day. Yeah, he returns at a critical juncture with his old sheriff outfit on and he's like, I'm back.
When
twirling his guns around.
Well, it's when Bradley's trying to save a little girl from being eaten by the critters, but then gets into like a situation where he's surrounded, but then sheriff appears.
Yeah, yeah.
Shoots them all.
And it was all just good fun. Yeah, like all the scenes
going on.
Yeah, the gremlin style scenes of the critters misbehaving. Like especially when the bounty hunters find them in that restaurant sort of, I guess, during the middle act. To kick the middle act off.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of funny little scenes, like one of them ends up in the deep fat fryer. Oh, yeah. Another one gets the top of his hairdo blown off.
Yeah, and they're like sort of squirting ketchup at each other and things.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's just like a silly... Yeah, very like Gremlins, actually. Very similar. But yeah, just lots going on, lots of fun, very silly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just silly, lightweight fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I actually think you're right with three and a half stars, I think is about right.
I think so.
But for me, it's a very warm 3.5 stars. It just wasn't trying to do anything too big or clever.
No, agreed.
It was just a good fun film.
Yeah.
Was there anything you didn't like about it?
No, I don't think so. You?
The plot at the beginning seemed a bit weird because, you know, you've got that guy who's found these eggs in a barn and he thinks, jackpot. I can sell these to the dealer of curios or whatever he is. And he takes the I guess he's got like a knick-knack shop to see them. And he's like, come on, I've got something to show you. Buried treasure. And when they look at him, the guy who he's trying to sell these to are like, what the hell are these? And he says to him, whatever you say they are. And I think... That's just an odd approach to life. Like, if you find something and you don't know what it is, jackpot. You can say this is anything. I mean, like, so, because you were coming around today, I did a bit of tidying up. And, like, when I was hoovering up, you know, when you hoover rattles, I was like, oh, what's this? And it was just like a white plastic disc with about 4 holes in it. Didn't have a clue what it was. Mm. I didn't think, bingo!
Oh, I can sell that. I can sell this. Spaceship.
Yeah, yeah. What is it? Yeah. Whatever I say it is.
Yeah, that's true.
That's just really, not how life works.
They didn't really look like anything worth having.
No, exactly.
It would have been better, actually, if they'd said, oh, I bet we can sell these as Easter eggs for the Easter parade, you know.
Yeah, it was just like this guy seemed to have this weird faith that because if he didn't know what they were...
So true. I never remember
Nobody knew what they were. So you could just tell them it was something that was worth money and then sell it to them. It was just a really, really weird... Like you say, they could have written that better. Like, it could have been, oh, you know, what kind of eggs are these? Who cares? They're not going to hatch
now. Who cares? I bet Grandma will pay us $10 for to have them at the Easter parade.
Yeah, it's Easter and their eggs.
What they did, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Another thing that slightly always makes... Oh, there's a weird thing to admit to, really. But the thing that always makes me go, oh, okay, sure. But because it was a silly film, I actually didn't mind. I'm sorry, some of those children would have died. Like, I'm always like, you don't have to show them being eaten, but let's pretend one of the children got eaten. Because, literally, one of them was in the girl's bedroom and she's, like, dangling her hand. And then she's driving around on the bike and the critter's right.
I'm like, the same girl?
One of them would have got eaten or at least bitten.
Yeah,
Come on. At least, like, have a, you know, a kid gets bitten. I'm just like, otherwise they're pointless.
Because adults were getting eaten with gay abandon.
Oh, my gosh. And
these kids, like, at one point, the girl... was fleeing on a tricycle. And all these critters... So the way the critters move is they roll like tumbleweed. And they're all rolling after her. And she just ended up being fine.
Yeah, not even a nibble.
Not even a nibble.
I'm not saying let's kill them all, but like, you know, just like a little nibble.
I tell you what else I didn't like. And this is a really harsh thing to say I didn't like. But I can only be honest. Mm. So Bradley Brown, the main character, for some reason I just didn't find him... a very likeable character.
Okay, fair enough. But, you know, for the most part, I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was just, like you say, what we thought it would be.
Yeah. Yeah, I almost have very little to say about it for that reason. Are you sticking by your three and a half stars?
3.5. Should we have a look on Rotten Tom's?
Well, before we do, I think we should have a little jingle.
Oh, yes, hang on. What was on the itinerary?
Well, we've got a quiz.
We do.
Which
do indeed.
Adam has very kindly prepared for us.
I'm very excited.
So
about
let
this.
Me get my laptop.
Yep.
And then we will do a quiz. But jingle first. Because I don't know if you have you listened to the last episode?
No.
Oh, Hannah.
Ah, well, I'm up to date apart from that one.
We've got new jingles.
What? Okay, I've not listened to it. I'll listen to it on the way home.
Yeah, please do.
That's the only one. I'm all up to date otherwise, because I do like to check our work, you know, just in case Alice has said something awful about me, just to see if I'm listening.
And we've got, I put like a sort of ticking, I'll edit this out, a ticking clock for the quick fire end, and a gong when you finish it.
Okay, I'll totally listen to that when we're back.
All right, well, I'll edit this in summer. Let's have a jingle, then we'll do a quiz. Right, you ready for a quiz?
I am absolutely ready.
So Adam sent me this as an email. It's called TMHP Easter Quiz 2022.
Ooh.
Special themed round, all featuring Christianity-based horror movies. And then there's a picture, and he's captioned the picture, I kick ass for the Lord, brain dead, 1992. Unfortunately, I can't see what the picture is, because my email provider has removed the pictures, presumably for my own security. I imagine it's a picture from Brain Dead.
So is it multiple choice?
It's exactly the same format that you know and love.
Cool.
Where it's multiple choice, but one of the options is just he's made it up.
Oh god.
Yeah, yeah.
Brilliant.
And also you don't even have the advantage of knowing his style.
No, that's what I was thinking. Tricky.
Okay.
Okay.
Are you ready? Question one.
Yeah.
For 10p. A group of young, horny, out-of-control Christians spend a fun-filled weekend at the Happy Day Bible Camp. Their impure antics summon up a sadistic, crazy nun known as Sister Mary Chopper. One by one, these youthful sinners pay a bloody penance for their miscreants. 7 years later, a new group of Bible-toting teens return to the Happy Day Bible Camp. All ignore the warnings from the local folk of the grisly murders that took place 7 years prior. Is Sister Mary Chopper dead, or is she just waiting for backsliding Christians to commit sins of the unholy? So that's the plot summary.
Okay.
Is it called Sister Axe?
Oh, that's, yeah, a, yeah, good, that's a good one.
Hot Cross Nuns.
I really hope so.
Bloody, Bloody Bible Camp. None Too Clever. Or did Adam make it up?
Oh, God. I mean, Sister Mary Chopper. That can't be real, right?
Does Chopper mean to you what it means to me?
Well, like a...
A penis.
Wang.
Yeah, yeah.
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 Oh, okay. Oh, screw it. I'm going to go Hot Cross Nuns.
No, it is a real film, though.
Is
it's
it?
Called Bloody Bloody Bible Camp.
Oh, Hot Cross Nuns was much better.
Yeah, I liked Sister Act.
That was really good as well. Oh,
well.
Sister Mary Chopper, though.
Sister Mary Chopper, yeah. Well, Adam's outwitted you there. Oh, no money in the prize
well
fund
done,
yet.
Well done, Ad. Down 10p.
Okay, question two. Here's the plot summary. Jacob asks our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ to resurrect his dead son Lazarus, but it turns out even the divine have a bad day when the Lord brings back more than just Lazarus. When waves of flesh-eating zombies are pulled from the earth, Jesus has to team up with Judas Iscariot to wage war against the undead.
Wow.
Is it called The Garden of Gethsemane?
Oh, good one.
A Judas Kiss of Death? 30 Punches of Silver? Or Fist of Jesus?
Oh.
Or did he make it up?
What was the first one again?
The Garden of Gethsemane.
I want to go for that one.
Oh, man, it's Fist of Jesus.
Oh, God. Again, not as good as the Garden of Gethsemane.
No, no, that is a bit of a theme in these films, isn't it?
God, 20p down. Jeez. Come on, Han. Come on. You can do this.
Question three. Newly minted archaeologist Ralph Jasmine unearths the legendary Ark of the Covenant buried deep within the catacombs of a North Yorkshire chapel. What Rolf doesn't know is that he's unearthed more than a majestic gold chest. In a blaze of holy fire, the prophet Moses is reborn, and he's pissed. Can Rolf and his team of junior archaeologists stop the prophet from slaughtering the hapless residents of Northallerton? For 2,000 years, mankind has ignored the Ten Commandments, and it's time to pay the price.
That sounds mental. If that's a real film, we actually absolutely have to watch that.
Well, is it called The Burning Bush of Northallerton? War of the Moses?
Oh.
Yeah. Moses is Red, Violence is True.
Oh, that's a good one too. Yeah.
Thou Shalt Not Live? Straight to the point.
Straight to the point, yeah.
Or did Adam make it up?
I mean, it's so particular. I think it's got to be real. The Moses is Red one.
Oh, and he made it up.
Oh, what? I'm really disappointed because I really wanted to watch that. So you're going to literally have to make me a film now. That was well played because I really thought that one was
that was a
truey.
A great plot summary. Okay, question four is the plot summary.
Okay.
When their beloved village priest dies in a church fire, the residents of Ruggy Island are horrified. That horror spirals out of control when Father Beans is resurrected as a flesh-eating revenant, hell-bent on delivering a most unholy communion. It's up to the residents of Ruggy Island to stop their undead padre from spilling everyone's flesh and blood on the village altar. Is it called Unholy Communion?
Mm-hmm.
Ruggy Ruggy Clergy Killer? This next two are classics. Priest Enders.
Oh, that was a good one.
Father Dead. Or did Adam make it up?
Funnily enough, I thought of Father Ted because of Rugged Island. It was quite close, but I want to go Priest Enders.
I know, It's all fake.
Oh,
we've still got no money in the prize fund.
Broke as anything. Oh my God.
But the good news is, Adam's put a lot more effort into this than I normally do. You've only had half your questions. Like normally I do three or four. And then
so
like,
I've still got time to claw some cash back.
Yeah, yeah.
God, I'm doing shockingly.
Right. Question five. Can you get off square one? What's the phrase?
I hope so. Well, no, can you get that?
Yeah. Can you get a question right?
Have you got a brain in there?
Oh no, I didn't mean that. Hannah. I didn't mean that. Yeah, can you open your account? One uneventful Monday, a series of horrific but motiveless murders are committed by New York residents. A man shoots people from a water tower. A father murders his family. And a cop opens fire at St. Patrick's Day revelers. The only pattern is the perpetrator's calm admission that God told me to, in quotes. Mm. While investigating the murders, Detective Peter Nicholas is troubled by evidence of a Christ-like figure named Bernard, who appeared to each of the killers, and can't seem to shake the feeling that his own fate is linked to this mysterious being. As he comes closer to the truth, his worst fears are confirmed. Is it called Pulp Crucifixion? Don't Say a Prayer for Me Now.
Like that.
God Told Me To. Monday Bloody Monday.
Mm.
Or did Adam make it up?
What was the first one again?
Pulp Crucifixion.
That is
a great one.
Sorry, what was number two again? Do you know what? Could you just go through them all again?
Yeah. Pulp Crucifixion.
Yeah.
Don't Say a Prayer for Me Now. God Told Me To. Monday Bloody Monday.
I'm going to go with God Told Me To, because it's the most straightforward.
Han?
Yeah?
You've got 10p in the prize fund. There we go.
Although, again, not the strongest name by a long shot.
No.
I quite like Don't Say a Prayer for Me Now. That was a good one.
I like Pulp Crucifixion.
Pulp Crucifixion. I mean, that was definitely the least good name.
Yeah, yeah.
But yes, oh, thank God. 1 point.
Okay, question six. He has died, he has risen, he will kill. After unruly metalheads urinate on Father Kilbourne's bright box.
Try again.
You go from the start. He has died, he has risen, he will kill. After unruly metalheads urinate on Father Kilbourne's bright...
Father Kilbourne's bride?
No. But that's what my mouth wants to say. Okay. We can get once more from the top. He has died. He has risen. He will kill. After unruly metal hate. I'm going to edit this out. Even though we're laughing, people at home are just going to be unsubscribing in droves.
All those new followers on Google.
Yes. So I'm not going to do He Has Died again, because I think we've got several takes of that.
He has died, he has risen, he will kill.
Yeah, when I'm editing this together, I'm going to have so many options for that bit. Let's just see if we can get one cut of the next sentence. One take of the next sentence. After unruly metalheads urinate on Father Kilbourne's Bible... The enraged clergyman goes on a wild bender, fueled by stolen communion wine. After a car crash lands the father in a toxic waste dump, this disturbed priest is transformed into a mutated killing machine on a mission to wipe out the godless fans of heavy metal music. Can anyone stop the mosh pit from becoming a bloodbath? Is it called Death to Metal?
Mm.
I like this one. Goth versus Cloth? The Headbanger's Fall, Mutant Toxic Hippie Killer, or did Adam make it up?
What was the third one?
The Headbanger's Fall.
I'm going to go with that. The Headbanger's Fall.
No, it was Death to Metal.
Ah!
It's all right, Hen, you've still got 10p in the prize fund.
My favourite, though, was Goth versus Cloth,
yeah. There's some great puns.
Oh, that does make me think about a touching cloth.
Okay, question seven.
Okay. God, what have I got? I'm 10p. God.
I know, he's given you all these questions and you've only got one of them right.
He's absolutely thrashing me.
But to be fair, you know, we're both bozos on this bus. I can't even say them.
You got to be fair, yeah. I mean, I feel a little bit better, I have to say.
Question 7. A demonic nun summons the devil to a small fishing village where he takes over the body of a beautiful, busty young woman and a great white shark.
Of course, a shark, yeah. Of course.
A chain reaction of evil grips the tiny community as shredded bodies wash ashore. What human force could stop a shark working fin in glove with a beautiful young temptress splashing in the sea? Seasoned spirit banisher Father Michael must descend upon the village and fight both teeth and temptation to send these man-killers back to hell before the tide comes in for good. And the answers here include my favourite of the whole quiz. Is it called Hell or High Water, Shark Exorcist, The Devil in the Deep Blue Sea?
Oh.
Or Forgive Me, Father, I Have Fins. Or did Adam make it up?
Oh, I love that. I'm going to go with The Devil in the Deep Blue Sea.
And it's Shark Exorcist.
Oh, again, the worst name. You two are wasted. You should be making up names for films.
Like me and him should definitely start a film production.
Definitely, yeah.
I don't know if we can make films.
Doesn't matter.
But we could sure name them.
Sure name them. Absolutely. Oh.
Okay, this is your last multiple choice one, huh?
Okay. Well, I think we can, you know, agree that I'm not getting rich off of this. That's fine.
Okay. In 1967, a convent in Ulster becomes the site of a bloodbath. 13 nuns slain in a flurry of violence. In the aftermath, rumours surfaced that the sisters were part of a sinister cabal, forcing orphaned women into prostitution and a world of abuse. As the plot thickens, Sister Mary Thomas, the only survivor of the murders, tells police that the killer was none other than Frank Bergen, the former janitor of the convent, himself murdered by monks 30 years prior. Now, in 1997, the work of the cabal continues. Am I pronouncing that word right?
I think
cabal.
So. Cabal, yeah.
With a new generation of innocents suffering at the hands of the sisters. As the nights grow cold, Sister Mary lies awake in a hospital bed. She knows the janitor is back for blood. Is it called Breaking Bad Habits?
Oh, that's a good one.
Dirty Vicar, Perfect Murder. Touched by God. Actually, this next one's a contender for my favourite. Handyman, Handyman, Handyman. Or did Adam make it up?
Oh, God. What was the first one again?
Breaking Bad Habits.
I like that one. And what was the last one? Sorry.
Is this payback for that one I couldn't read?
Yeah. It's going to make you read through them all again.
Handyman, Handyman,
Handyman. Oh, no, before
handyman.
That one. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. Touched by God. Do you want the second one?
Go on.
Dirty Vicar, Perfect Murder.
Oh, God, it's a tricky one. The first one.
He made it up.
Oh, God.
So, well, all's not lost. You've still got 10p to play for.
Okay.
The quick fire
well.
End. Right. So because I don't have a spreadsheet, this might be a bit slower than normal.
It's fine.
But I'll
it's
edit
okay.
together so
that's
it's
okay.
Best. Okay. So I have, and again, he's done a lot better than me, 19 films. So you don't get any plot summary. You just get the title,
the title.
And you have to say if it's real or not real.
Okay. And not true or false, as I sometimes do.
No, you can say true or false. You know, I'm not going to insist on...
I think
on...
last time I did a mix for some reason. Okay.
Right.
Real or not real. Got it.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Easter Bunny, Kill Kill.
Real.
Easter Bunny Bloodbath.
Real.
Easter Egg Murder Party.
False. Not real.
Yeah. Fuck! There's a nun eating my face!
Real.
Aliens versus nuns.
Not real.
A lawyer, the devil, three priests and a nun. Dot, dot, dot.
Real.
Jesus Christ Vampire Hunter.
Real.
40 Days and 40 Dead Choir Boys.
Real.
Jesus and the Rabbit of Damnation.
False.
God is real and he killed my puppy.
False.
Jehovah's Shit List.
my god, it's my favourite. Oh god, false, not real.
Undead Chainsaw Murder Monks.
Real.
I'm not even sure how to say this one.
Oh, my.
Badass Psycho Priest.
True, real.
On the seventh day, he murdered Grandpa.
Real.
Killing God.
Is that it?
That's the name,
oh,
yeah.
Not real.
I think you'll like this next one. Willie Mae, the Church Lady Vampire Slayer.
That was great. Real.
Alien Exorcism.
Real.
Loch Ness Monster Exorcism 2.
Not real.
Bigfoot Exorcist.
Not real.
Right. Let me... I think I was laughing too hard to score this accurately.
To be honest, after Jehovah's Shitlist.
Right.
I didn't really think about much else.
Right, how many do I think you've got right here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Comfortably more than half right
now. Yes.
I've stopped counting now.
Yes.
Oh, I think you might have got... Well, about 13 or 14, right? Do you want to hear which ones were real?
Brilliant. Yes, please.
Easter Bunny Kill Kill. Easter Bunny Bloodbath. Aliens vs. Nuns. A Lawyer, the Devil, Three Priests and a Nun. Jesus Christ Vampire Hunter. Jesus and the Rabbit of Damnation.
Wow.
Badass Psycho Priest. It's basically the word badass, but it's got extra A's and S's in it.
Ah, okay.
Killing God. Willie Mae, the Church Lady Vampire Slayer.
Wow.
Yeah, that Alien was quite Exorcism. Random.
Yeah.
And Bigfoot Exorcist.
But not Jehovah's Shitlist.
No.
Oh.
That was a brilliant quiz.
That was an amazing quiz. A round of applause for Ad.
Well done, Adam. Well Thank done, you mate. Very much
Thank
for writing this
so
quiz.
Much. That we that was a great laugh.
Yeah. And Han, you're going home with 10p.
Oh.
Because you,
boom.
Yeah, you get to take the whole prize fund home.
Whole 10p home. How will I carry it?
Right. Let's do a jingle.
Yeah.
And let's go to Tomatometer. Right, so all that remains to do is go to Rotten Tomatoes. We're going to play the Rotten Tomatoes game. What score do you think it got?
Oh, yeah, before I look, I should. Okay. It's going to be one of those films I think that a lot of people will love just because it's a bit of a classic.
Yeah, cult classic.
Cult classic, yeah. But equally, some people will, it won't be for them. It's not going to get like 90 or anything like that. I'm going to go with a 65.
I'm going to go for 55.
Okay, let's have a look.
Yeah, Critters 2. This time, the last episode, I was so proud of my new jingles and my sound effects for the quick fire round. I forgot to put in the drum roll.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
God.
I know.
Drum roll this. Oh, okay. Sorry. Don't know why that took a minute, but it's coming. Oh.
Oh, wow.
Very low. I'm
the
quite surprised about that.
The critics didn't enjoy it as much as we did.
No, they really didn't.
That made me want to see more Critters films, if I'm honest.
Me too. I was thinking I wouldn't mind watching the first one.
Yeah.
But,
I think there's several Critters films. Although I think I'd watch it. I wouldn't watch it by myself. That would be a weird, you know, just me sort of sat there solemnly.
Yeah.
Watching a Critters film.
Yeah, it's the sort of film that's quite nice to watch with friends, isn't it?
Yeah.
A bit of a laugh. So, the audience score was 37%.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, quite surprisingly low. Because I was thinking it would be a bit of a cult classic, and there was, you know, it was kind of going to be one of those films that, yes, we know it's no masterpiece, but a little bit loved by, you know, the kind of people that would like Gremlins or, I don't know, Evil Dead, something like that, but no. Well, let's see what people said. So, tomatoes or splodges first?
Well, I think let's get to the bottom of why it's unpopular.
Okay.
Let's have a splodge.
Splodge. So, first up, we've got Roger Ebert from the Chicago Sun-Times.
Oh, Ebert.
Mm.
Ah, he's famous.
Is he?
Yeah, Siskel and Ebert.
Oh, well, there you go. It's him.
Wow, two thumbs way up, guys.
And he has said, it lacks all of the style and sense of fun of the original Critters, and has no reason for existence. Aside, of course, from the fact that Critters is a brand name and this is the current model.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, I mean...
Is Critters a brand name?
I don't know, I suppose. But we haven't seen number one, so it's quite difficult to say how it compared.
It might be that number one is the beloved classic.
Possibly.
And then it had a load of sequels that weren't widely loved.
Yeah. Then we've got Mike Massey from Gone with the Twins. And Mike says, amusingly, the Crite death scenes have grown more goopy and destructive, though the potential for greater showdowns and onslaughts is sadly unfulfilled.
That's a splodge, is it?
That was a splodge, yeah. Just like, okay, but...
Guys, it's Critters too.
I know.
Give it a break.
I also don't feel like anyone's really, you know, like we were saying, well, let's get to the bottom of it. I mean, I feel like we haven't yet.
Yeah.
And some people have just given it a splodge with no comment.
A splodge with no comment?
Yeah.
That's barbaric.
Like, loads of people have done that, actually. That was Roger again. No, there's not really... So, Alex Sandel from Juicy Cerebellum says... Probably the worst of the Critters series. And that's saying something. Okay? Do you know what I mean? That no one's gone to town about...
Yeah, yeah.
Why?
So normally we get at least one reviewer who's like, oh, God. When viewed through the lens of a Marxist critique...
Yeah.
It fails to adequately portray the suffering of the working classes.
So true. No, none of those. None of those at all. We could look at the audience reviews.
Yeah, yeah, we might have to.
Because really, not a lot of meat on the bones here from the critics.
So I know we didn't have much to say about it, but that was just because we quite enjoyed it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, considering the audience is supposed to hate it, again, not many bad comments. Oh, okay, we've got one.
Okay.
From David M. And David says, pretty much a repeat of the first movie, just with a lot more gag factor thrown in, which I personally think ruined it and just sealed this movie's fate as a total joke.
So by gag factor?
I think like gross.
Oh, rather than
one-liners.
Yeah, okay.
Jonathan G. says, this time it becomes stupid. It's boring and repetitive. It lacks what the first movie had. Just a typical creature. God, it's not very... You know when people don't really write very well. Sorry, Jonathan.
No, don't apologise. He should apologise.
No, I can't even get through that one. Sorry, everyone. Terminator 8 says, this wasn't so good, but it's good. No one's really
disappointed.
No one's really getting to the bottom of why it's not that good. I mean, because it is what it is, right?
Yeah, it's just fun. We enjoyed it.
Let's see what someone says.
I mean, I will say I'm glad I rented it on Amazon Prime rather than buying it to have forever.
Yeah.
Because I think the chance of me rewatching that is slim.
And in terms of tomatoes, Chuck Rudolph from Matinee Magazine says, almost as good as the first film. It's alone worth seeing for the return of Terrence Mann as the funniest intergalactic bounty hunter in the history of cinema. Oh, okay.
I don't remember him really having us roaring with laughter.
No, not really.
He was quite monosyllabic, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I wouldn't have put him up for the Oscar, but, you know, it's all right.
I mean, I don't think the character was meant to be funny. No. So that's not even a criticism of Terrence Mann. I presume he played Og.
I presume so. Yeah. And then Jason Shawhan from Nashville Scene says, the best Easter horror film is Mick Garris's Critters 2, The Main Course. That's that.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Well, then we picked the right one.
We picked the right one. I think I'll end my reviews there because, you know, what more is there to say?
Well, what a downbeat ending for a superbly fun podcast with an amazing quiz from Adam.
I was just expecting a bit more. You know, if you hate something, you're going to one-star it, go to town on why.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. What have we ever one-starred? Should I think of our most hated? Or we might have disagreed.
I don't think we've ever one-starred anything.
We're not.
The closest I came was I didn't really like Mandy.
Oh, you didn't know.
Although, I think that was...
Whereas I...
That was early days for the podcast. And I think I felt I had to be a bit critical.
Yeah.
I think I was being a bit harsh on it.
Actually, it's interesting. If you go back to our early days, I wonder if we'd have given some of the same scores now. Because I think I was more critical as well.
Yeah, yeah. The Taking of Deborah Logan.
Was nicer,
we only gave that 3.5 stars or three. No, we only gave it 3 stars.
Yeah,
I think.
We did.
Yeah, and
I think that would have got bumped up now.
Yeah, that would have got a 4.
Also, the amount of lols it gave us, you know,
yeah, yeah.
Surely just for that.
Yeah, so sorry, Deborah.
Sorry, Debs. You're stinking graveyard.
I think that's the first time we've ever done a roundup of the Rotten Tomatoes and not found anything to laugh at.
No, not at all. Oh, well. So, thankfully, we had a great quiz.
Yeah,
so.
We did. Yeah. So that was our Easter special, by which I mean we watched an Easter film and did a Christianity-themed quiz.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Pretty well themed, I think.
Yeah, well. There's only so much we could do, really, wasn't there?
Like, that's true.
If we were sat here with bunny ears on, no one would know. Oh, fuck. And as well, we were sat here with bunny ears on.
We were eating bunnies, to be fair.
Oh, yeah, we were.
Eating Easter produce.
Yeah.
So for our next one, we are going to do a Queen's Jubilee theme.
Oh, wait. Is it the Queen's Jubilee next? Are there
it's
any
got to be close, isn't it?
Are there any horror films?
What about the Queen's Jubilee? I mean...
Don't tell me Critters 3 is about the Queen's Jubilee.
It's set in Buckingham Palace.
Oh, I hope the corgis don't get eaten.
Oh, no, they definitely would, wouldn't they?
I think it's your turn to pick a film.
Is it?
Because I think, did I pick Suspiria? I definitely picked Critters
2. No, we went through the book.
Oh, we did go through the book.
Maybe we should consult the Bible.
Well, is the black phone out? Because I know, it's been pushed back, hasn't it?
No, it's been pushed back. Bloody hell. Let's look at the book.
Oh. Careful. Yeah, we're getting the book out of the pile of books. Somehow it's ended up halfway down.
It's all right. I'm just going to be very strong.
Oh, you are very strong.
Yeah. Okay, The Innocents. Have we gone past? You know, when you think, where did we get to? Yeah, we did go past The Innocents, didn't we?
Well, we got to Suspiria, didn't we?
Yeah. Just going to find Suspiria. Okay, Suspiria. So the next one is Halloween.
I've not seen that.
Have you not?
Yeah, but I don't fancy it.
You really should watch it at some point. It's a bit of a classic. Okay. The Shining, again, classic, but I've seen it.
I've never seen The Shining.
You need to watch The Shining.
I know, I'm the worst horror podcaster ever.
I don't know. You do work with me. The Shining is really good, though. You should definitely watch that. Angst.
Angst. That sounds like a laugh riot.
Sounds like a real laugh riot. Oh, Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer.
Oh, that is grim and a half.
That is grim and a half.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, I had to watch it for when I did film studies at uni, and it was a bit like, quite grim.
Do you sometimes wonder if you and me just don't have the stomach to be horror film podcasters?
Maybe we should do rom-coms.
The midweek rom-com podcast, colon, rom-com reviews.
Rom-com reviews. Okay.
Yeah, that's our subtitle rather than part of our title.
Shutter.
I've not seen it.
No, I've not seen that. Oh, it sounds quite a scary one, though.
Oh.
It's from Thailand. So I don't know. I don't know how easy it would be to get, but hopefully you'll be able to get it.
I've never seen a Thai horror.
No, neither have I. And it says at the top, spirit photography is when ghosts appear in pictures by accident or design. Which sounds quite good to me.
Yeah.
It sounds pretty good. I'm not even going to read too much about it.
Yeah, close the book.
Close the book. Shutter.
Yeah.
Shutter that book.
Glasby has spoken.
He has. Thank you, Matt. We knew we'd get there. Maybe, though, we should, like, you know, I don't mind watching The Shining again at some point, because that is a great film.
Oh, I know. I'm just going to say a line to edit in. Ah, yes. And by Bible, we mean the Book of Horror by Matt Glasby.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mean the Christian Bible. I know this is Easter-themed, but...
No. But as in, just so they know what book we're looking at.
Oh, I see. And he was like, oh, is that in Corinthians? I don't remember that part. No.
But like, somebody might be listening for the first time, and we didn't actually say what the book's name was.
That is a very good point, Alice. Yes, beginning. Thank you. Yeah.
Ha 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 ha
Well, there we go. Yeah. Another great pod.
Well, thanks for joining us, everyone. Tune in next time for more
Midweek Horror.
Don't get scared now.